And you're very welcome to this year's first edition of the Clash Act podcast with myself, Eddie Scally. And what a way to start the season off. One of my favourite players of all time, Mr. Colin Fenley. Colin, thanks a million for joining me today.
No problem at all, Eddie. Delighted to be here.
Colin, it's only a few weeks now since the defeat in the Club All-Ireland final. It would have been a bitter pill to swallow for yourselves. I know how much you all put into that, put into the club and put into the team. It was obviously very disappointing.
Yeah, no, it certainly was. At the time, I remember last couple of seconds of the game, I really couldn't believe what just happened. And, you know, afterwards you realise so many other teams that we actually played between that year and probably a few years before us had to swallow that pill as well. And you just really had to take it on the chin. Either way, it wasn't easy. Not easy for anyone. But, you know, we left Ballygunner hanging in the game, and you know, you can see from this year alone, if you leave any team hanging in the game, they could come at you, and they came at us now and they won fair and square. And you know, it's a huge disappointment, but look, we have to look back on what we've done over the last probably 15 years of the club, not alone the last 4 years. You know, it's been absolutely fantastic. So you know, you have to take the good with the bad as well, I suppose.
Yeah, and the game itself, like, you were on top, you know, for the bulks of the game, and then to lose it the way you lost it, but then, as you rightly say, you won a couple of games the same way. Like, it,
yeah.
Did like, when you beat a team with a last minute goal like you did in the semi-finals,
yeah.
TJ's free in the semis, like, when you're in the dressing room, you're a more senior player, you've been around the block, does your heart go out to the other dressing room? Do you kind of think to yourself, God, or is it in your own head, it's a selfish feeling and you're like, no, I don't care, we're in the final? You know, was that ever in your mind in the semis, say, when you got a goal?
Yeah, no, it certainly was. At the end of the game, you look at the Thomas's lads and you see how disappointed and that is, as you said, being an older player, you know how hard it is and you know what it means to them. And you know, they haven't won one since, I think it was 2013. And you know, and even on the day, Thomas's were way better than us the whole way through the game. So yeah, no, it was definitely a hard one for them to take. And, you know, we certainly felt it in our final. But look, we had to look back and know what we've won and just appreciate that. And I suppose look forward to the following year and be happy, I suppose, that we're still there, you know, as a team and everyone together as well.
Yeah, I know it's a small consolation, but, like, you were a puck of the wall away from winning another All-Ireland. You were about a minute away from winning another All-Ireland. So yeah. I suppose it might make it that bit easier to get the boots on and get going again to say, right, I want this trophy back.
Yeah. You do. I look, after the match and stuff, you want nothing more not to think about it. Like, you know, you don't want anything to do with it. And all of a sudden now the club are looking for a new manager and you're getting excited again. So you are, you know, and you're kind of actually starting to look forward. Then the good weather comes in as well. And you're like, oh, I'd love to go down to lads, you know, for a puck around in the evenings. Yeah. So it's amazing how quickly, look, it all does turn around. You know, and I suppose the passing of Paul was something that you kind of really put things in perspective then as well. So it did. You know, it's just, it was an All-Ireland, just it didn't come into context, I suppose, when something like that happens.
I think when something like that happens, you know, with Paul Shefflin, you know, for anyone that isn't aware of it, of course, Paul passed away suddenly at only 41, I think, you know, which for any club or any parish, it's a terrible thing. And we're talking about the heartbreak of losing an All-Ireland final in a club game, but at the end of the day, it's a game. We all get to get up the next morning and go again. But your parish had to deal with losing one of the pillars of your community. It must have been a terrible time in the area for everybody connected to the club and to the Shefflin family.
Yeah, it is. Like, we still talk about it, and it's very tough. And as you said, like, he's a pillar of the community, so he was so involved with everyone for so long. And he was a really kind of lovable kind of character, and you know, he always had the crack with lads. He was always out and about. He was only over in Cheltenham, it was before Christmas, so he was, you know, so it was a really tough place for I suppose the whole community. I was actually over in Dubai when I got the news, and I was with Alan Goody there and Robbie Elwood over there, and we just couldn't believe it. And it was just kind of so hard to get someone to confirm it or what happened, or, you know, everything. And you know, it was just huge shock for days afterwards, you know. And your heart really goes out for the whole family. So it does.
Yeah, no, it does put things into perspective. And of course, we wish all our condolences to everybody in the Shefflin family and Paul's own family himself. You know, it's a really tough time. But Colin, just on the other side of the spectrum, Ballyhale, it's a place I love going to. I love going there, my own club, Blacks and Whites, to play games, because Year the club, when I talk to my players, year the club, I constantly go back to when I'm discussing anything with my players. I remind them. And one of the things I love about going there is there's nearly always one of you in the field. There's nearly always, whether it's an Adrian Mullen or a TJ or a Darren or yourself, there's somebody there poking a ball. Like, the GEA is literally the heart of your parish.
Yeah, it is. And we're actually kicking off our kind of development now. So we're really kind of putting a huge kind of, I suppose, focus on our facilities and I suppose the younger generation and everything else that we are down there at the moment. So, you know, we just recently built our gym down there. And anytime I say, I go down to the gym now quite a bit because, like I say, just taking a break from the running and all that, and like you would see Adrian out there running around. You'd see Owen Cody down practicing freeze. You'd see TJ down practicing freeze. It's just amazing. And like we wouldn't even be talking to each other. You just go down, you end up just seeing each other and you meet lads in the gym as well. Like, so you would. Yeah, look, it's amazing. Just interesting at all, and even if you go in before that, then anytime I've ever went down there, just the amount of kids down there in general, without even any training sessions, nothing going on. And you know, I think back to when I was a kid, there wasn't, I suppose, that many of us down the field. And it was my first year, probably finished with Kenny there this year, last year. And I went down through the summer, and every single evening I went down, it was just cars parked everywhere, cars parked out on the road. And it's like the difference in 10 years is just amazing. And just the interest levels and just, I suppose, the volume of people now down there. And as you said, it's the heart community. And, you know, it is great to have everyone down there.
And like for you yourself, Colin, like when you were growing up, you know, you're from a family, like a hurling dynasty. I'd said to you beforehand, you know, the only thing I can liken you to is the O'Shea's down in Curry. You know, it's that type of a family tradition. So, like, as a child growing up in Ballyhale, it was obviously hurling was a very important part of your upbringing. Like, I mean, I'm sure there was hurls at the back door. Like, you went to school and you came home and there was a hurl fire at you. Is that how it was?
That's exactly how it was. Like, you're at home, like, dad, like, he just built his own goal, like, you know, welds a few pieces of steel together and all of a shot you have a goal. And you know, you had four sisters there, one brother, and you know, we're always out hurling. Down the road you had TJ, they're farmers, they have a bigger field there, so they actually had nearly a proper field there. You go play, you know, you go probably 2 miles down the road and you have the Fitzpatricks, and they actually had two big wooden timber posted goals as well. And I just remember every single year you'd be going up and down either one way or the other, and everyone would come together and just have a game, or even if you're at home, just poking away. And even at home, like we've a big gable end wall in the parents' place, and you know, I just used to just remember just poking the ball there as a kid. And even now, still before county finals and everything else, I'm there poking against that wall because it's just so handy. And it's just the importance of it all. And I don't know, that the parents like build that into the plans. you just don't know. It has been there since a young age. And I suppose our school mentor, Joe Dunphy, was probably a massive part of that. Even talking to my friends in group chat there, like, you know, you just see the teams that went through and the emphasis he put on hurling. It was just a massive part, and so many of the players went through him in school.
And like you made your debut with the adult team in the club in 2006, I think. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you've had a massive career. Like, we're into 2022 and you're still going strong, you know. So, like, it's been a long career. But your dad would have won multiple senior club titles with Ballyhale. How many has your dad got?
Dad has 9 out of 13. I think I'm at 10 out of maybe 13 as well. I think we lost 3, I think it was. So yeah, it's funny. It's crazy, like, at the matchup.
How many has Michael got?
Michael, I think, is at 7 or 8. I think he could be 8.
It's just useless, like, let the whole side. But is it something? I was at a meeting one day and I heard one of the lads saying to you at a meeting that, you know, that I think he said you'd won 9, and you corrected him very quickly to say, no, we've won 10.
Yeah.
It is obviously something that you'd have a bit of banter with at home, I'd say, is it?
It is. Well, I always knew what dad had won in it, and that was probably always the target, especially when you're coming close to it, when you're obviously at 1 or 2 or 3 and you're younger, you don't think about it, or you think you'll never get there. You know, I remember I think it was, we were at a funeral, myself and Teeter, when we were younger, and Ned Quinn were just talking about the amount of county finals the club have. you know, and he actually said that, you know, someday we will get close to Tullerone, and we're way off at this stage. I think we had only two, I'd say, at that stage, as in two in our generation. So we would have been up to maybe about 12, 13. And I just thought that this guy is crazy, you know, but obviously he's not, because, like, you know, he was the main man for Kilkenny for years. And obviously from that conversation, you know, it's just something you stick in your mind. It's a strange one, the things that you do remember, but, you know, just to small things like that. And yeah, we are that close now to the top. And, you know, Tullerone just held for so long, and I suppose it's not something that you target, but you take
it. You're now getting close to it.
You're getting close to it, yeah, and it's just an amazing feeling, I suppose, just what the club has achieved in 50 years. Like, this year's our 50th anniversary, and you know, you just really look back at achievements, like, you know, and it's great that the people that did all those achievements are actually your parents.
Yeah.
You know, that did all that hard work at the start to get everything going. I think my grandfather and TJ's grandfather once actually started the club, you know, so it is an amazing feeling from that perspective. So it is.
And, like, your first year with this men's team, you went on and won the All-Ireland in your first year, yeah, in 2006. Like, so for Colin Fenley, you know, you're probably just gone 17, 18, you're coming in, breaking into the adult team in the club, and you're just winning an All-Ireland. Like, I don't mean that you're just winning an All-Ireland, they didn't bring you in and say, here's a medal, like, but does in your mind, does this kind of start coming? I remember Gordon Elliott, the horse trainer, and I was talking to him before, and his first year as a proper trainer, he won the Grand National in Aintree, and he thought, well, this is handy. But then he didn't win it again for about 18 years or 19 years till Tiger Roll won it. So there was a big gap between drinks, but he done it. But that first year, did you think, you know, walking off the pitch, that this is going to be some crack now, I'm going to be raking in All-Ireland medals to beat the band? Or did you acknowledge how big an achievement that was?
Wouldn't have acknowledged it. But I think there was just huge competition within the club when we were younger, and you just took everything as it came. And, like, I was 17, I remember. I mean, I wasn't starting at that age, and I was only coming on probably for the last maybe 10 minutes of matches. And I remember constantly on to selectors, why am I not playing, like, you know? And that was probably just the hunger and just the competitiveness in me. You know, I think the club won four under-21 county finals just come up from around that time, like, as well. And, you know, it was just huge competition there, so there wasn't. We're probably looking enough, there was a Fela team that went right through. I think it was Michael's age and Chaffet Patrick's age, and that went, that filtered right through. I think that was a massive difference, you know. And we had that again with the likes of Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody. That whole group came through, and that was a difference again, and it just kicked everything off again. Like, you know, if you ask me, like, how does that happen, I haven't a clue. You know, I thought we were finished in 2000, and I think it was 16-17, we didn't win a county final, and we're dwindling, like, we're struggling to get players down the field and everything. You know, like, myself, TJ and Joey would have been there, I think Henry might have still been playing then as well, and it was just dwindling. Like, we're only getting to the semi-final, and then all of a shot, just that spark, and those kids came through, and just everything changed. I would have took another county final back then, just one more, and all of a shot we've another four. It's crazy just how it happens. But I suppose that hunger, it's the guys that lead by example, and I suppose we had Henry ahead of us, and he was a massive leader. You know, I think that followed through to the likes of Michael and Chad, and that followed through to TJ, myself, Joey, you know, and hopefully that'll keep going.
And, like, when you say it about that time, like the 2006 right up to now, like, you know, you've four senior titles kind of in a row, kind of, and, you know, and I know there was a little bit of a blip in the middle. Can you remember the training program, say, in 2006 for you guys getting ready? Do you know what I'm saying? And can you compare it to the training program that's been put in front of you for the 2020 or the 2021 season?
It's a different world. I'm glad I'm nearly finished.
Like, is it that far apart already?
It is. Like, I finished with Kilkenny there 2 years ago, and then obviously I went back to the club. It's no different. It's absolutely no different. Like, you know, I finished with the club there after I learned there, and I was wrecked. I was tired mentally and physically. It just went on for so long. Obviously, you're not going to complain about this kind of stuff, but it just the feeling of it was draining. So it was, like, you know, you're going up to Carlow every second night to train in the wind, the cold, the muck, you know, and you had to keep, I suppose you had to lead as well. So you did. And, you know, we trained all summer as well, played all the games, and it just went right through Christmas, everything. You know, obviously it's an amazing run and it's brilliant, and, you know, I wouldn't change a thing, but it is draining.
But the club team in, say, 2006, you were probably training on a Wednesday night in a game on a Saturday or training on a Saturday and there was no meal plans being put in front of you, dietitians, nutritionists weighing in, this type of stuff?
No, exactly. And that is there with the club, so it is like, you know, you do look after what you eat and everything else, where that would not have been there. That would have been there 5 or 6 years ago, I don't think.
And was this stuff just slowly brought in or...?
Slowly brought in, yeah. No, it's slowly brought in. Like, you know, the clubs tend to kind of follow the county, and the county now are probably at a level where, you know, the clubs are after catching up to, like, you know, they can't get too much more higher, like, you know, they're
unless you go full time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're nearly professional athletes, and you see a lot of lads, like, they do have the time to give all that training. Like, they're quite fortunate, I suppose. A lot of guys are teachers there and stuff. They do have the summer there where other guys go traveling. They are putting their time into hurling, so they're like, you know, it's a huge commitment.
And do you, like, is it a coincidence that if you take, look at the Kilkenny senior hurling team now, look at the Limerick senior hurling team, and it's just because you've touched on it there about school teachers, if you look at the occupations of the players and compare them to when your dad was hurling, and you look, because I often get some laugh, like I remember reading about Mick O'Connell rowing from Valentia Island to Kerry, then cycling 20 kilometres, then going training with the Kerry senior hurling football team, then cycling 20 kilometres back, and then rowing back to Valentia Island and doing it three nights a week, and then you'd hear us whinging about going training in the rain.
Yeah.
But the occupations of the lads 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was bricklayers, blocklayers, builders, you know, really heavy, hard working, you know, physical draining, demanding jobs. But the players nowadays seem to nearly, it's nearly like the county teams are targeting the more administrational roles for their players, like sales managers.
Yeah. They have to, like, say the commitment there, like, it might come easier to some lads, fitness and everything else, but it just didn't come easy to me. And you couldn't go from a day on a building site into training. You just wouldn't
physically
be able to do it. Physically wouldn't be able to do it. No, you'd be absolutely drained. So I know Jarrell was probably one of the only guys that was actually on construction sites, and, you know, he constantly just had to look after himself, and it was quite awkward for him. Like, you know, he had to pay bills, you know, and he had to do everything else. Like, and there he is trying to train, get on a team as well at the same time. So look, there is massive differences there, and everybody knows it as well. Like, you know, it's just a huge commitment overall.
When you went from Ballyhale in 2006, you'd the few years with the club, you'd obviously won an All-Ireland in 2006, you won the All-Ireland in 2009, and then you got the big call into the Kilkenny set up in 2011. You know, at that stage you would have been in the army, so you'd have been, I'd assume you would have been training quite hard in there anyway. You know, it's of the jobs that you can get to train, the army is probably one of them. Like, your physical condition when you went into the Kilkenny panel in 2011, like, where were you? Do you remember the first couple of training sessions? I have visions of a lad getting called into a Kilkenny panel, and in the first training session he's in the corner of the field absolutely panting to God's heavens for air because the rest of these lads are finely tuned athletes. Like, what was it like when you went in the start?
Well, I was actually in Boston for 3 months beforehand.
You were one of these people lying in the corner of the field.
No, like, when you're kind of that age, you know, I suppose the excitement of going into Kilkenny, you know, adrenaline, everything else, like, you know, it is. I remember Eddie Brennan passed a commentary one day, like, he was one of the fastest guys there playing, like, and I remember one, I think it was the first training session I had with me, he said, he passed me the ball, you just see me zooming past him, like, you know, and he's just like, where do these young lads get the energy? Like, you know, it's just like the energy you do come into it, like, you know, you're excited to be in there, like, you know, you want nothing more to play for your county. So it's what you always thought about as a kid, you know, and Eddie was at the other end of it, so he was, you know, at that stage, and, you know, and, you know, it's all down to leadership as well. Like, I was actually going for his place, but yet he was always talking to me and helping me out and
pushing
me on, exactly, and pushing me to make sure I earned that place. You know, and that's probably the difference, I suppose.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And like, for you breaking in, obviously you've had all your uncles do it, your dad's done it, they've all been there, and then of course it must be a massive help that you have your brother in there as well.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, and even when I'm in, like, you know, you've seen Michael and, as I said there earlier, like, you know, they actually chat to the guys and they make it a lot easier. They make the transition, because there is a massive step up.
Of course.
We've seen so many players come in who've been brilliant for the club and they just couldn't make that extra step into county level. You just wonder how, like, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just so small things that really help out, so it does. You know, and I was lucky with Michael having that there, because, you know, it's those small things that really make the difference.
And 2011, your first season with Kilkenny as well, you won the All-Ireland also.
Yeah.
This is a, anybody who's thinking about getting a senior hurling team going and trying to win something, just call Colin Fenley and pull in All-Ireland. That must have been a brilliant start. I remember that game at the time, Colin, and there was a lot of stories going around leading up to that All-Ireland final that you picked up a knock and that you were going to actually miss the All-Ireland. I don't know, you probably wouldn't be reading the papers leading up to your own game, but in 2011 it circulated in the media quite strongly that you were going to be missing. You weren't going to be playing the All-Ireland final. Do you remember it?
Yeah, no, I do remember it because it was my hamstring. And I say it was the first time I ever strained my hamstring, so I didn't really know what was going on. You know, and I suppose it was just, Kilkenny, I suppose, just had the best set up there for treatment and everything else. You know, it was actually in Thomastown against Clara that I did it. I think it was probably about 3 weeks beforehand, and it was a strain, so it was like, you know, and at the time you just don't know how long it takes to get back. And you know, I think I was in college at the time, so I had those 3 weeks to prepare myself without any interruptions whatsoever. But again, as we were talking about beforehand, if you had a job and you had to go to work, you would have struggled. Like, you probably wouldn't have been back, like, you know, but every day, like, you know, you're just looking after yourself. And just made it back for the All-Ireland, and it felt absolutely perfect for the All-Ireland. And that's just the difference that, I suppose, the treatment system you had and the time you could give to the sport.
First All-Ireland final, it's for us mere mortals in the stands, Colin, I've spoken to so many lads that have played in All-Ireland finals, and they've all said the same thing to me, that you just, it's very hard to explain. I think the nicest one I heard was, I think it was maybe it was Owen Larkin or it was Paul Murphy actually. He'd said to me that it felt like when the dressing room door had opened, when you're in the dressing room, the door would open, and he said you could hear the noise from outside, and then as it was closing, it was like a vacuum hoovering out of a room. And he said it was like that for 10 minutes. It was like a heartbeat in the stand. But he said on the field of play, if I was standing 10 yards away from you calling you, there's no way you'd hear me. Like, you're nearly screaming at each other from the whole noise of the stadium. Is that your experience of your first All-Ireland? Was it that type of a cauldron, or what way was it?
It isn't because, yeah, at times you'd be roaring at lads and they couldn't hear you, but anytime Cody roared at you, you could hear him. And he was always about 40, 50 yards away from you.
I did. There is a famous one about Tony Cascarino. I don't know if you ever remember him. He used to play for Ireland, but he signed for Celtic and he played in an Old Firm derby against Rangers, and he said you couldn't hear a sound in the whole game, but he had a shot right in front of the goal, and it was an open goal, and he put it wide, and he got to hear the then Celtic manager, clearly Liam Brady, saying, why did we sign that useless fucker? You know, you could hear it as clear as day. So was that the case? You could actually, would you mince out Brian's voice?
Oh, you would. You'd hear it. Even the other day, I was watching the Cork and Kilkenny match, and you know, you could just hear Brian's voice, and I was like, oh jeez, there's a voice I won't miss.
Were you at the game and you could hear it from the stand?
No, I could hear it on the telly, like, you know. And you know, I was there beside Leah, and I say to Leah, like, and she wouldn't even recognise it, but it's just something that I would just pick up on straight away. And it was just funny, like, you know, you just hear that voice, and what's that's maybe nearly 12, 13 years ago now that I would be listening to it at the very start, and it hasn't changed.
was it a voice that scared you, intimidated you, drove you on?
It was a voice that would drive you on. You kicks you into the gear. You know you're doing something wrong, so you get going again.
I'd say it was rare that brilliant Colin, or was it more of get it going? It was expected, or
yeah. If you had to say brilliant Colin, it was probably a time when you maybe get a score, so you wouldn't hear him say it because the crowd would be going. Yeah.
And that first All Ireland, you know, you go win the game, get a couple of points in the All Ireland final. You did get a couple of points in the All Ireland final that day. I think you definitely did.
Yeah.
But for yourself, obviously, you know, total euphoria. You've won your first All Ireland with Kilkenny. Do you remember much about the couple of weeks afterwards? Was it everything you expected it to be?
I didn't expect anything. To be honest, you don't think about it. You know, I remember that morning actually in getting the bus just outside Langton's in the crowd there, and you seen what I meant to crowds, and you know that was probably quite a big feeling. So it was just crazy, the crowd that was in Kilkenny, just the day of the match, that morning, just people coming to see you going on the bus, you know, and you could just see what it meant. You could see just the amount of people travelling up and just what it meant to people. I went to a match before, the night before actually. I remember it very well as well. I think it was under 14 match, and the Mullins were playing, like, you know, down to see them was a club match, and you know, you just see the crowd just even going down to that match just to talk about the All-Irelands, and you know, you go down, they talk about it and everything else, you know, it's just the hype for it is absolutely amazing. And you certainly missed that around COVID the last 2 years. Like, you know, you have that every year going up to those matches, and you just didn't have it the last two years. And it's just great now that we can have that back again, and you just appreciate it so much more.
Because I want that, just when you push on the COVID side of things, right? And the buzz for the games and whatnot, because, like, I remember the All-Ireland semi-final against, the semi-final, I think it was, against Limerick. You scored a goal early in the game, the day you beat Limerick. I think you got a goal early in the game. I'm pretty sure you got a goal early in the game. You're not helping me very much here, Colin.
What year?
The semi-final, you got beaten in the All-Ireland final afterwards. I think you knocked Limerick.
Yes. You, yeah, 2019, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know for definite you scored in the semi-final. I had 50 on you there to score the first goal, so I was kind of on the ball that day. But, like, you're playing in front of Pat Crow Park, you know, and everything, I'd say, you know, when you put in so much effort and everything, it's brilliant. But, like, I found it awful hard during COVID watching the, like, you lifted a Leinster title to an empty Crow Park. You know, you're there. This is your turn to captain Kilkenny. Like, I know this is going to sound terrible, like, but does it, like, you've done it on both sides of it. You've won a Leinster title with nobody in Crow Park, and you've had to stand up and lift up the cup, and then you've won a Leinster title, say, 4 or 5 years earlier with a half full or 80% full Crow Park, and you've got the lifter, you've lifted an All-Ireland title. Like, that day lifting the title, did it feel less worth, do you know what I'm saying?
It didn't. I don't think it is, because personally you think about the achievement yourself and you're delighted of what happened, because the team are after winning and everything else, and you're just delighted for that part. Obviously the excitement, all that is gone. Like, when you go back to that Limerick match, I suppose the excitement around then was probably because we were destined to be absolutely hammered.
You weren't expected to win.
No. And we were supposed to be best in the game before that as well against Cork. And, you know, that was a massive year for us. You know, obviously the final was disappointing, but you know, Kilkenny on the way back up, which was great. But just the excitement around those matches were just massive. And, you know, it is something that I'll never forget for those years with Kilkenny. And I had a great time with Kilkenny. And I was happy when I was finished up, because it was just the right time for me.
Just on, like, the finishing up, Colin, right? Because, like, you took a year out, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for me personally, when I seen that you were taking a year out, I just said, well, that's Colin finished now, because there's no way you're coming back at your age. You just physically can't take a year out of that type of training. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't mean this with all respect.
No, you're right.
You need... So, like, what I couldn't understand, and this is now a very, just me personally, but I couldn't understand was, you know, I felt if you wanted to retire, you were more than entitled to retire, and you were more than entitled to get the plaudits you would have deserved and you should have gotten. But instead, you took a year out, and then in a comment after, I think it was after the county final, one of the lads was interviewing you and said something about, you know, next year for Kilkenny, and you were like, no, them days are gone. Do you know that type of way?
Mm.
And then I'm listening to the news that night, and it's Colin Fenley announces retirement from hurling, and I thought, Jesus, he's after packing it in with Ballyhale straight after winning a county title. Like, what's he thinking? And one of my mates said, no, he's finished with Kilkenny. And I was like, well, that happened last year.
Yeah.
Like, give me the train of thought here. Like, so
I couldn't let go.
Right, okay. So
I didn't want to finish with Kilkenny.
But did you feel you had to?
The hunger wasn't there. As in, like, it was probably the right time for you to finish. And just the hunger really wasn't there. I didn't enjoy the year before. And I didn't know if that was I finished, or maybe the hunger might come back. And I spoke to Brian about it, and he said, just take some time. Well, it was my idea to take some time out. And I said, look, is it okay if I just take a year out? And he was kind of saying, look, will you be coming back during the year? And I said, no, like, I don't want to be messing around with other players and like that, or thinking that this is something that you can kind of sweep in, sweep out of. So I just said I'd take the year out. And if the hunger came back, I'd absolutely love to go back. It didn't come back.
Yeah, no, because...
You know, and that was it. I didn't actually expect a question. I thought everyone just, as you said, assumed I was finished. And, you know, as you said about plaudits, it wasn't something that I'd look for in any scenario. You know, I was happy with what I'd done with Kilkenny, and I was happy to finish up. And I didn't expect a question after that game, because I just presumed everyone just presumed so I was finished.
But like the whole thing, because one of the things that really annoyed me at during the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of people kind of suggesting that it's time that Brian Cody moves on. That won't come as a shock to you, I'm sure, because you're not deaf, you're not blind, you can see it in newspapers. Like, people come out and question it, but about 12 months ago, or maybe a little bit more than 12 months ago, it was suggested in the media, and then they were using two or three of the people that they used as reasons for Brian Cody to go. Colin Fenley was one of the suggestions, and DJ Carey was another one of the suggestions. You know, these were people that left the fold, and they were basically saying, you know, this is Brian Cody's fault, yeah, that these people have left the fold. Now, for whatever reason, I got called by a radio station and I was asked for my opinion on it. I don't know why anyone gives a shit about my opinion, but if I'm asked my opinion, you'll get it. And I gave the opinion, and I said, what I said straight out was, did Colin come out and say anything about Brian Cody? Did DJ come out and say anything about Brian Cody? Because if they didn't, it's only hearsay. And I said, that's somebody else just filling newspaper space, you know. But it was something that was touted around. Like, I mean, you yourself, as a player, your time under Brian Cody, like, was he the best coach that you've played under? Was he one of the best managers you've played under? How would you sum him up?
Oh, he was. He was very good. And just even on all that, like, it's easy to point a finger at the coach when they're losing, like, you know, or the manager. And that's what happens in every single sport, you know, and that's all that was. And they're just going to use excuses, like, you know, even after we lost against Waterford, you know, you just hear all these rumours and they're just crazy. And look, they're just guys sitting around having a crack, say something to someone, and it just adds legs and everything else. You know how it works. But Brian is an excellent manager. He's very good to speak. You know, if you want to get going for a game, you know, like, I remember even Friday nights, when he'd give the talk before a match, you're ready to go out and play the match Friday night. You know, you nearly want the match Friday night, so you would, you know. You'd be so looking forward. But look, he's been brilliant, and look, you know, what he's done shows that, like, you know, you don't need me to tell you that. So yeah, no, look, they're going well in the last couple of games. It's just, you know, you see the double match, Waterford match, and, you know, the first half, the Cork match, you know, he's just really looking forward to the championship now. Like, he's obviously doing some sort of good job there at the moment, like, you know. And the game is changing. It's not easy. It has changed massively. Ballyhale had to change, you know, everyone has changed. And it's how well people adapt to that and how well teams adapt to it. Ballyhale adapted quite well. Kilkenny probably didn't adapt quite well, but you can't point the finger and blame anyone. It's probably the easiest thing to do. Kilkenny just have to go out and do it, you know, and a certain amount has to go on the players as well.
And I'm going to come back to that on how the game has changed again in a couple of minutes. There was before I kind of push on to that, there was three other small things I wanted to look at, which, like, a number of years ago on Off the Ball, you'd done an interview, and I remember the interview at the time, and lazy journalism, in my opinion, there was one comment that you'd made about that you found a little bit boring in the army. Like, it was literally, but it became the whole story. Do you know what I mean? And like, I'd hate for me and you to have a chat like we're having now, and then one remark become the whole story. That's not what it's about. But at the time that you'd made the comment, you know, I remember looking at it and I kind of said to myself, you know, I can see where he's coming from here. You know, it's not, like, lads need to think that some people, you know, like, there's loads of people in jobs that are a means to an end. And that's exactly what you said. Yeah. Like, do you remember, obviously you remember the interview, like, but was there a backlash from that? Do you think it was a little bit unfair?
It didn't bother me too much because I'm not on any social media or anything like that. I don't really read newspapers, and you know, I don't usually do these too often, but obviously, again, you're a good friend, Lewis. But again, I probably won't see any of this or hear anything about it. If people do pick up something wrong, it's up to them whatever way they pick it up. You know, about the army, I explained in it that there was a recession. I needed to stay around. Like, I did construction 100%. In college, you know, and I just, like, I think it was my sister, I said it then as well, and my sister applied for me to go into the army. I just went in, ended up staying there, and you know, that was for me to stay around Hurling Kilkenny. And that's what I got to do. And Hurling Kilkenny was absolutely amazing, you know, and I had no interest in the army, and that's just the way it was. I sounded boring.
You see, Colin, when you put it like this, that's point explained and clarified. But genuinely, and that's, it's one of the things that I always hate, and I'm always very conscious of when you're having a chat with somebody and you're doing something and you're very good to do this with me, is that somebody would take one comment and say, hold on now, you know, I'm going to make a story of that. But it was a non-story, and I just did want to clarify that at the time, because I remember reading it, and, you know, I'm from Athlone, like, so there's so many people from Athlone in the army, you know, and, like, we'd knock some crack out of lads, like, we'd be, you know, it's constantly we'd be telling them that you're doing nothing, and they'd remind us that, you know, we haven't been invaded lately, right? You know, and it's all a bit of fun. And
there's 8,000 people in the army. Everybody has a different opinion on it.
Exactly.
You know, you even take guys myself and Paul Murphy played with Kilkenny for it's probably the same length, 10 years together. And he went in when he was 18. He absolutely loves it. He's doing very well in the army. Like, you know, and there's me in there as well at the complete opposite ends of him. You know, not enjoying it. You know, and it's just amazing. Just like two friends could be just so opposite when it comes to something like that.
In every job in the country.
Exactly.
Want to work on public.
Exactly. But look, if people want to pick it up differently, it doesn't bother me.
No, they're pushing on the last two areas I want to talk to. First of all, I want to just talk to you about the young players in the game at the moment. And then I wanted to talk to you about the way the game is evolving and who we think will win this year's championship. But the young players in the game, I spoke to you last year. It was at the very start of, we said, the club championships that's just finished. And we were kind of what I was just saying to you, I know I was talking to you about Tuller Ross Burkin in the club championship. And I don't, you might remember this, but we were just chatting on the phone and I was kind of saying about different teams at different levels early in the championship. And I kind of inquired with Ballyhale, and like I would never ask the question outright on a phone call, but you've got players that come into a group, you know, a winning group. You know, you've won X amount of All-Ireland titles, you've won club titles. But the young players coming up, like, they need to come and earn these. And I just wondered, like, in Ballyhale, the young lads coming through, and you kind of hit on it earlier, these young lads coming up, the likes of Owen Cody and these fellas, they've come with that massive hunger already, have they?
Oh, they have. And as you said, they have to earn it. And poor Owen Cody was sitting beside me for the last, I suppose, 3 or 4 years in the corner and had to get used to how probably I played it. And, you know, he probably found that quite tough. But in the last year, you've obviously seen how good he is now. And he's after taking over. He's gone well beyond me now. So he is. And, you know, it's like the way he's able to win ball now and do everything else. Like, you know, he's just skilling him is absolutely fantastic. Like, you know, the likes of Adrian Mullen then is out in half forward line with TJ, and you see what he can do and everything else. And, you know, it's just getting the balance right. And, you know, it's amazing. Like, Owen Cody came in, and I think you had Henry Shefflin as his manager for Ballyhale, and you had Brian Cody as his manager for Kilkenny. And, he never lost a game up until the Ballygunter match, you know, and it's just an amazing run for him. So it is, and there's a few players like that as well. I think you had Dean Mason there and Dara Corker and a few of them as well.
That was their first game to lose.
That was their first game to lose championship, yeah, with the club, which is absolutely amazing. It's incredible. So it is, you know, but their hunger is just it's just amazing. Like, you know, it just reminds me of when I came in, I suppose, the appetite I had.
Yeah, because I tell you what I'm touching on. See, I can see that at the club level, and I can see it at your own club, and you know, but one of the things that I would find is when I was in Wexford for a good few years, and when I was involved with the Camogie team in Wexford, they had that. They had this massive drive. They wanted more, and no matter what they were doing, they wanted to do better. But I kind of got the feeling off of some of the other teams training in the Centre of Excellence that sometimes making the county panel was the achievement. If you get me, it's like I'm from Westmeath. So if you make the Westmeath team, realistically, you're not going to win the All-Ireland. So that's the achievement. Now, Kilkenny haven't won an All-Ireland since 2015. And I'm just like the lads now, would you think everyone walking in the door of them dressing rooms now, they're not seeing it as the achievement is making the Kilkenny panel. They're seeing it as the first step is to make the Kilkenny panel. And now we have to go and achieve something.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Like for you yourself, you know, you think about you when you were a young lad, you made that Kilkenny team, you broke into the panel.
Yeah.
I'm sure at home it was reminded to you, right, you're there now. Now you have to go and do something with it. The fact that you've got the jersey, you only get it for a couple of years or whatever time you have. It's what you're going to do with it. And it's the reason I'm saying this, and it's not having a pop at anybody, but I'm conscious that sometimes people can become comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'd say it'd be the worst thing for ever happen to a Kilkenny panel is if they ever got comfortable thinking, I made the panel, I'm a right fella.
Yeah, I don't think that happens, to be honest. Especially one, Brian Cody won't have you there too long. and another, I think it's just the way we were kind of brought up. I think even at club level, we had that the whole way through, you know, from our fathers winning, you know, and their expectations, and that just filtered right through. A lot of us, I suppose, going into Kilkenny are probably at underage level playing with Kilkenny the whole way along. So you kind of, you do move through the lines, but at every age, you're there to win. And, you know, I wouldn't have seen it as an achievement making the Kilkenny team or panel, you know, and we had no interest being in there if we weren't winning or if we weren't playing at our best. And that was something I think even when even when I was going to Kilkenny in 2011, a lot of people said, oh, Kilkenny are finished. I think with Tipperary beat me the year before, yes. And Tipperary were the new upcoming team, and that was that. And things like that would kind of drive you on, would excite you, you know. And every year with Kilkenny, like, even though we were losing in 2016, when 17, 18, you know, we got back there in 2019, and obviously that mentality is still there. But as I said, Brian Cody won't leave lads hanging around if they're just there to sit in the panel. I know he rang Ronan Corcoran and he spoke to Ronan Corcoran about coming in. You know, it was awkward for our lads going in as well, because they're with Ballyhale and they'll obviously miss a lot of the league. They'll miss those early games. And Ronan's first question was, will I get game time? You know, will I be on the team? He doesn't want to sit on the bench, you know. And I thought that was a great mentality. And I thought, he said the right thing to Brian, because that's exactly what Brian wants. He wants lads that wants to make the team, that just don't want to go in and sit down.
You don't want dead wood, like.
Yeah, you don't want dead wood. You don't want lads going in there to get the gear. You don't want lads going in there pretending, oh, my Monty Kilkenny team or a panel or whatever. Like, he wants to go in there and play. And, you know, it's just the mentality that he has. And, you know, I'd like to think that came from the club, I suppose.
Yeah, no, because it is, like, you wouldn't have seen it because you're in Kilkenny, but I can tell you, that is the case in many counties across the country, where lads, you know, the two Johnnies make songs about it, having the crack, you know, that I'm county, you know, and that is unfortunately the way it is. The other thing I will ask is, it's the stuff that's happening in villages up and down the whole country. You know, the GAA, I personally think socially the GAA has a massive importance within a village and within a parish. And like, I see it with Problem Gambling. I see Oisín McConville doing a lot of work with that. You see a lot of drugs, again, people coming in talking. Like, it is something that's unfortunately in every, you know, no matter, like, we can close our eyes and pretend it isn't, but it's in every village and every town in the whole country, you know, these problem areas. And like, I just wonder, within the GAA, like, do you think, see, in school, when we try and teach people something in school, if we try and talk to somebody in school, you're in that school environment and you don't want to listen to it. But sometimes in a club environment, when senior players are talking to the younger players and just warning them about the dangers and stuff like that, is it something that the GAA needs to look at and say, you know, we need to make sure that we've, like, I can only give you an example. I got a call a couple of years ago with another club I was involved in, and they said that we need to do random drug tests on the players. So I said, okay, that's a bit random. I said, for why? And they said, because we're putting in a zero tolerance to drugs, like. I said, wonderful. And he said, you know, do you mind? I said, I don't care what you do to the players. If the players are happy to let you do that, that's fine. But I said, I have a major problem with a zero tolerance towards drug taking. I said, I'd much prefer if the club had a plan that if a player tested positive in a drug test, that we're going to get him help. You know, and we're going to look after him. Like, what are we going to do? Throw him out of the club? And they didn't tell me what the plan was, and it never happened in the end. And I just wonder, like, you know, was it something, I'm not asking you, do you see it yourself in your own clubs, but I'm sure it's something you're conscious of around the country.
My first introduction was only about 2 years. 2 years ago, we had our first meeting with Kilkenny. It was coming close to Christmas, so it was. And I thought it was to get going for the year ahead, and, you know, real excited. And I was up in Dublin at the time, so I travelled down that morning. I was probably one of the last ones coming in, so I was sitting up the very front, and Brian Cody gave a talk on drugs, and he said there's a zero tolerance for it. And he, you know, when Brian speaks, like, you're sitting back, and that day he made sure everybody knew there's a zero tolerance. And, you know, it was great for him to see that, I suppose, and give that speech and just make sure they are leaders, and that's the way they always represent each other. But it just gave me an awful fright and probably an eye opener, you know, because I talked to the lads after. I was like, what's going on here? Like, you know, and it's just everywhere at the moment. And, you know, it's something that you want to keep out. And it is great to have, I suppose, someone like Brian there, like, he will keep an eye on that. He'll make sure the lads lead by example, I suppose. And, even there, only, I think it's about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I actually gave a presentation in our own club on the facilities in the clubs, upgrading and having people down there, and keep them out of going into, let's say, the towns and everything else, and just walking around and just going down the wrong path.
Idle hands, yeah.
Exactly. You know, where if you keep them in the club, keep them in the community, you know, there's less chance they will go down that road, you know, and they'll stay around, and still, you know, I think just sport in general is just a huge kind of advantage to players. Like, you know, I see the guys that have done sport and have saved the club the whole way up along, and it's just that their future is just that little bit brighter. You know, obviously there's plenty of other avenues to go, but I just an example of those players. Like, you know, they've done very well for themselves, mainly because they're surrounded by so many people that are there to help each other. You know, I think that's what clubs are all about. They're there to help.
Yeah, no, and I think it is a social thing. You know, that the drug side of things, the problem. But the biggest thing I think I've always found with my club growing up is these. Like, I remember a fella saying to me before, like, you know, your county players are the lads you win county titles with. Your club players are the lads that carry your coffin. You know, these are going to be with you at the best of the times, but they'll also be there for you at the worst of times. And I just think it's something. I think for clubs like Ballyhale, when they've got big names like yourself and many players like that, I think it's so important that the club puts out that message that, you know, we're all in this together, and if you have a problem, you know, come and talk to one of us within the club, and we'll try and solve it. And I'm sure that's something that you'd love, you know, Ballyhale to be front and centre. Like, you're a focal part of the club, and you're trying to push it on.
Yeah, no, it is, like, and it is. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. Like, even the gym down there, like, you know, as much as we want it for players, we're after open up to the public, and it's just more for people to come down and everyone kind of mix as much as possible. And that's where you talk to people, you know, you meet people down there, you socialise, you talk to people. You know, you don't have to go out in the town, so you don't. And it's a massive part of it. And I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, you know, it just puts a different perspective on things.
The modern game, Colin, you touched on it there, and it'll be the last thing that we'll talk on before you'll start telling me who'll win the All-Ireland. But the modern game, like, when you would have come into, say, 2006, 2007 with the club, but definitely 2011, like, you know, Kilkenny would have had target men always kind of full forward line, lads that'll win their own ball, big, drill it down on them, and they'll do the rest. And that was the game. Now the game is a much more... In the way I see it anyway, it's a much more possession based game. It's much more controlled, running it through the lines. You could see the Waterford Wexford game the other day. Wexford haven't played Davy Fitz's system for a long time, and then switching to the way Dara wants them to set up. They were always, in my opinion, going to be exposed at some time, because there was going to be gaps where you had seven defenders and now you've only got six. Waterford exploited it hugely. But for you yourself, the evolution of the game, kind of working it through the lines and the whole lot, like, have you found that as an improvement to the game, or is it something that you don't like, or is it just something we have to accept?
It's something that I don't like, but it's just something you have to accept, because any team will do anything to beat the other, like, you know, to win, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And you know, I did much rather the old style of playing, just route one, mainly because I play inside the full forward line.
Knock 20 on me, I'll get 5, you know. But,
yeah.
But you know, like, it's...
But, like, but you can't do that anymore, because the game has changed. Like, you know, they use the keeper so much more, so all the fullback has to do is just kind of put his arms up against mine, and the ball will just fall through to the goalkeeper, and he's used as an extra man then. So that completely changed, and that had to stop. You know, and then it went to the whole kind of Cork, Wexford, just playing the ball through the lines, and I don't think that worked either, because it just broke down too much. I know you have Limerick, who are able to play short and long, you know, and that's what you have to try and do. And I think that's what Wexford are doing now as well. What Dara's trying to do, I think he's trying to bring in both. You even see it with Waterford, with Desi Hutchinson now inside, he's after to change things. They're able to go long, you know, because his speed, you know, his turn and everything else. So they have the option now. And you see that their game changed this year as well. Like, you know, they're at the top, so they are. And that's why they're in the league final, so they are. And, you know.
Like, watching the league this year, like, I remember during COVID, we were blaming it on COVID, and then before COVID, I don't know what to blame it on then, but the league had become glorified friendlies. I actually, maybe it's just me, but I enjoyed the league this year. I thought it was pretty competitive, with the exception of Limerick. I thought there was lots of good games. I thought the Cork Kilkenny game at the weekend was I thought that was a good game.
Yeah, no, they are good.
Nearly championship, not at championship, but not a mile off it either, like.
Yeah, no, it's a pity, I suppose, maybe awfully being in the other group. You know, they probably would have done better up against the Leashes and the Antrims, maybe. And that was kind of a dead rubber game for them, nearly, in most of them. Even though they probably kept in toe-to-toe for probably maybe 30, 40 minutes of the game, but... people wouldn't have took much interest in it, but the higher tier teams, you know, they were really good games, you know. I didn't watch them all. Yeah, I've seen a few of them, but there's serious excitement now this year, mainly because Limerick weren't winning all their matches.
Yeah, but, like, can I ask you, Colin, right? Because I'm sick of lads telling me that you know, like Limerick will switch it back on. Like, I personally, some teams can. Ye can, Ballyhale, because you're feckers for it early in the league.
I think this is a very similar scenario to what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, but ye, you're a club team that's been doing it. And I don't know, I don't believe that Ballyhale have ever went out in a match and said, right lads, we lose by 3 points today.
That's exactly it, like, so and that was my worry this year. I say it to our manager, I said, look, we don't just switch it on. That just doesn't happen, like, you know. And someday we will get caught, and we will, you know,
end up in a relegation final. And
it could easily, because we've been losing our league matches, and we don't go out to lose them, and that's the thing. And Limerick are the same, so they won't switch it on, but people think they will. But like as you said, they don't go out to lose matches.
Because one of the guys that said to me, Brian Cody never focused on the league. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, you do know, I think Brian Cody's won 11 league titles. Like, for someone that didn't focus on the league, I said he pulled up some amount of league medals. But what I did look at, because I did then dive into it and say, right, how can someone say that Brian Cody didn't focus on the league? Because that's crack anyway. But what I did do was Brian Cody unearthed another 10 or 11 players in the league campaign. He brought in new players and said, right, let's blood a few lads, but still managed to win leagues. But what he was doing was, there was a famous saying there one time that Kilkenny's toughest match, I can't remember what season it was, but was one of the years with Henry and DJ and them all, that their hardest game they had that year was the friendly or the training match before the All-Ireland final, because they're the best 15 in the country and the second best 15 in the country, you know. But that was the type of thing. But I don't believe, like, if Limerick had tried through that this year, the 10 of the Limerick All-Ireland winning team played in one of the games this year and got beaten by 5 or 6 points. I can't remember who beat them, but they were beaten 5 or 6 points comfortably. Like, do you think Limerick will just click a switch, championship, and come flying again?
Yeah, I think it's more down to focus. You know, to those players have been on the go there now the last 3-4 years. Actually, a lot longer, because I think all those were under 21s, a lot of them, and they've been winning for, I think, 3 or 4 years again, when they were under 21. Yeah. So they have been on the go a long time. Their focus probably drops a bit, you know. And then, as you said, in the championship, it's not clicking the fingers, but their heads mentally maybe switches on back on again. Maybe they're switched off at the moment, but we won't know that until the championship comes around.
And when you're looking at the teams that are out there at the moment, this will get me shot anyway for saying this. The defeat Wexford took in Nolan Park the other day, for me now, that rules them out of... And they have absolutely no conceivable way of winning the All-Ireland this year. It can't happen. No team that gets beaten by 19 points is going to win the All-Ireland this year. Am I mad to say that?
You're probably not, because there's so many matches to win the All-Ireland, and you can't be losing a match by 19 points and hope to win All-Ireland, because you're that far away. You know, you have, what was it, 4 or 5 matches now to play at Leinster. You have to go along and play the Leinster final. You could either go into the qualifiers then, or go into the All-Ireland semi-final. You have the All-Ireland semi-final and you have the All-Ireland final. That's a lot of games, and you can't drop off that much to come back and win all those games. There's just so many matches, like.
But Wexford aren't that far away from Waterford. Was that just a freakish game, or are they?
I think it's a freakish game. You know, everybody has their bad games. As I said, like, it's a lot to do with focus. You know, Wexford done very well in the league. There's no doubt about it. I think the early matches, I seen a difference to them. They are a different team.
Focus in the league? Were the you know?
Like, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
They focused on the league and said, "Let's go at this."
By the way they played, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But look, as I said, it's locked down to mentality. Like, I remember playing with Kilkenny, and we went out to win every game. It's all I ever remember. As you said, Brian Cody doesn't go out to lose games. And I remember, I think Tommy Welsh wasn't playing in one of the Burn Cup matches, or Welsh Cup matches, sorry. And he was absolutely livid. He was absolutely raging. I was like, geez, he might give the rest of us a go, Tommy. But that's just to his mentality. Like, you know, he wants to play every game. He didn't want to be sitting on the bench. And it's that kind of leadership. You know, as I said, I talk a lot about leadership, but that's leadership that he has on us, that we followed, you know, and those things make all the difference. And as I said, as we're talking about it, the game has changed, and maybe, you know, you can't keep that mentality the whole year round or every year.
Yeah, but like you take the Leinster Championship this year, like, and the point you've made, like, I mean, I remember you'd win an All-Ireland maybe 4 games, 5 games, and you have the All-Ireland one. Like, Leinster is going to be 4 or 5 games this year. So you're going
exactly.
Like, Brian's going to have to look at certain games, and it might be Owen Cody has a sore back, or Adrian Mullen's knee, and, you know, anything. And I need to rest this guy this week. And it's going to, there is a little bit of player management going to be needed during the year.
It is, and it's awkward, because you always want to play your best team.
Of 100%.
You know, in every game. And again, it's another challenge for Brian Cody, because I know it's there the last 2 years, but he's not used to this. Like, you know, as you said, it was always 4 or 5 games in the All-Ireland is there, like, to be won. Now you have, I actually heard this on the radio the other day that, let's say, the league now is kind of totally pushed out because you had those 4 or 5 games, and then you come to the Leinster Championship and you have, again, another of those 4 or 5 games again. And then the Championship is really only starting then. But all of a sudden, you could be knocked out if you're not focused, because you could end up fourth in that group very easily. And that's the case down in Munster. Like, you know, you have these great teams and they're knocked out so early, so they are.
Munster's a hotbed though, isn't it, really? It is.
I'm glad we're not in Munster.
And just kind of looking at, right, so we kind of both agree that Limerick are, they're obviously top of the pile at the moment. They're, you know, there's no question in that. Like, I mean, they've won the last couple of All-Irelands. They're right there. So when we take the next step down, the most likely to knock them off the perch, you know, based on league form, you're putting Waterford and Cork probably in the next tier, are you?
I think I'm putting a good few teams there. Like you have the Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin showed flashes of it. I think any of those teams could beat anyone on any given day. Wexford showed a good campaign in the league, but then obviously lost by 19 points, you know. So what state are they in? Like, I think every team has showed good form, obviously except for Limerick, but yet they're still at the top, but yet just had those bad days, you know. So it's going to be a very interesting championship. I'm actually looking forward to it.
And if you, like, if you were putting, I give you two teams, you're out Limerick and then you have two more, like, who are the most likely to, like, I know you'd love to say Kilkenny, hopefully you will say Kilkenny, I don't know, but you know, realistically looking at it at the moment with what's in their arsenal, league form out of the way, don't worry about that.
It's so hard to know. You could say Waterford, Kilkenny bet Waterford, you know, and they bet them well. Like, you know, they had a really good game against them, and that's why I'm saying so close. Galway have, I think, good players there. They haven't showed the true form yet.
That was another thing that was said to me. Henry, when he was over with E, your league form in league championship wasn't wonderful when Henry was the manager, and then he lost no knockout championship match
exactly
in 2 years. I don't, like, one of the lads said to me, is he doing that in Galway? And I was like, again, I don't think that this has ever come into his psyche, where he said, you know what we'll do now, we'll go up now and we won't win any game.
No, I remember Henry in those league games, he absolutely losing it, wondering what are we doing. And we're there, we're trying.
Like, with Henry, like, you've been there, like, because you've been in the dressing room, you've played with him and you've played under him as a manager, like, will the Henry factor drive Galway? Like, I mean, he's
definitely
a genius.
Would.
Like,
definitely would. It's again the excitement factor there. When I came in to play with Kilkenny, just the excitement for playing with Kilkenny, it just drove you on that extra 10-20%. When Henry came over us with Ballyhale, it was massive excitement around, you know, the club, you know, and we were absolutely delighted to have him. And there was just that huge kick there, sort of was, and we loved having him over us, and he was brilliant, and that was evidence in what he'd done there.
Even as one of your own club, like, he was only out of the dressing room probably a year, was he? 2 years out of the dressing room when he came back in as the manager?
I think he was straight out, to be honest. I think because he was injured the year before, he didn't really play much of it, but he was still there, and then all of a shot then he was our manager. You know, and I think that was a huge disappointment to him not coming in with Kilkenny. I think Kilkenny in general just had huge excitement. Whatever level he would have came in at, I don't know. But I was just disappointed that he didn't come in or wasn't brought in or whatever happened there. You know, I think there would have been huge excitement. And I think even with the players, it would have been huge excitement.
If Henry had been brought into the Kilkenny fold.
Yeah, in whatever scenario it would have been.
Like, it is a strange one that he's, like, I can see why he's gone to Galway. It's like, to me, they're a sleeping giant. They're right there. They're always there. They're about big men. They're well able to hurl. He'll do really well. But, like, can you see, and this is a strange one, but can you see Henry going from Galway to Kilkenny? Like, it had never happened. You know, it probably never happened in the past. I don't know of any. Well, it definitely hasn't happened in the past. But, like, do you think Henry go to Galway for 2-3 seasons and then come and manage Kilkenny? Like, is that the end game? Is that the target?
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say manage, because I say Brian's there and...
Oh yeah, no, I'm on about 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I don't know. As I said, Henry coming in with just whatever capacity it is,
it'll give a lift.
It would have gave a lift. But now he's up in Galway. You know, if he wins with Galway and then came back to Kilkenny, obviously to be, you know, huge excitement again. But if he doesn't do well up in Galway, what happens then? Like, is the excitement gone?
Yeah, no, but see, this is the thing.
That's
like,
the worry. Like,
it is, but like sport is, that's the way sport is. Like, your own brother is doing a very good job with Offaly, and he's, you know, I spoke to Michael Dignan on this show a couple of months back, and they couldn't speak more highly of Michael. They love him up there, you know, and he's doing a wonderful job. But when you go to, like, Henry has gone to one of the big four or the big five, we'll say, you have to be successful.
Yeah.
And if you're not, as we've said 40 minutes ago, it's too easy to point the finger and say that the problem is that guy on the line.
No, that's it. Like, the finger always points at the manager, you know, and that's always the problem. And it's something that you can't get out of people either. Like, you know, it's just natural.
Ballyhale lads, they're all over the place managing teams now. They're, you know, I think everybody wants to try and get a piece of what Ballyhale has. It's not just Kilkenny. Like, Henry is there, Michael is there, Jimmy Coogan was with Muncoyne. You know, there's the lads with Gore, and I think, you know, there's Ballyhale, Tuller, yeah. Ross Burke,
and we want to get them all back to Ballyhale. we're actually without a manager now.
You've sent them all out. Yeah. None of them coming home.
No.
Are we any further down the line there on that appointment of a manager?
I don't think so. Looked our outlook, and then the passing of Paul, then I think just stopped everything. It halted actually absolutely everything. So it did. So I actually don't even know what's happening at the moment. But no, we aren't further. I don't think we are. I don't actually know.
You're not ready for the player manager role yet?
No. I don't think. I was asked this question, and I won't say never, but I think it's just the fact that you're just so involved with hurling just for so much over the last few years. It's just the last thing I would think of doing. I see the hard. Michael's getting even, like, you know, and he just absolutely loves it, but my love for that is not there at the moment.
And the Ballyhale job, is it, like, would it be the toughest job in Ireland right now?
Yeah, I think every job, every management job, because every club has expectations, and there are expectations probably above what every club probably have. Like, you know, there are 12 teams at senior. Every club will want to win the county final, and that's what they expect, you know. And our club will be no different, you know. And that's expected out of the manager, and if he doesn't do it,
he's a failure. No, it's because, yeah. I remember like it was one of the things one of the lads had said to me before. He said, you know, every team thinks they're actually a little bit better than they are, and it's your fault if they don't overachieve.
Oh, exactly.
If they only play to their level, you've done a bad job.
Yeah, so I won't be a manager.
You won't be a manager yet. No, we won't rule it out. Before I let you go, you have to give me a prediction, right? So Limerick, we're saying that Limerick are ahead of the posse. You have to, who's going to be playing Limerick in the All-Ireland final? Are Limerick going to be in the All-Ireland final?
Yeah, I think they'll switch it back on down to their focus back into the game. You know, because they have the hurlers. It's just their focus, their mentality. And, you know, as soon as the championship comes back around, I think they will focus back in on it and realise, yeah, you know, we're going for something big here now. Who could be there? I think Kilkenny will go strong on getting to win Leinster, getting to Ireland semi-final. And I think it's a toss up then after that, because Kilkenny probably do quite well against Waterford, as you've seen already.
Yeah,
mightn't do as well against Cork if they get Cork in that semi-final, but yet then Cork and Waterford are probably quite level on par, so they are. Cork got to the final last year, didn't go so well. Kilkenny should have better, I thought, in their match
in
the semi-final. Disappointed over that. You have to see Limerick there. I think Waterford won't be too far off it. I think that Desi Hutchinson was a massive difference. Even you see that with Ballygunner, he just really changed the game. Like, you know, he's an excellent player.
But it's a rising tide. Ballygunner winning the All Ireland, like, does that spill over into the county?
It does
as well.
It does, definitely. I always thought that with Ballyhale. Even you know, we represented Kilkenny every time we went, and I know I think that's just massive. I think the year we won in 2019, or it could have been 18. I think Ballyhale, Tullerone won intermediate, and I think it was Conaghy.
That's right, won the junior.
And I think we got to Ireland final that year. I believe it spills through. I think we're either on one side or the other, but I really do believe it spills through, and it's just kind of that emphasis it puts on it, and just people want that I suppose winning feeling, I suppose. And we had that in the county that year. We had it with Ballyhale for a good few years, and Kilkenny at the same time. So yeah, I certainly hope it would drive it on, and but not for Waterford. after Ballygunner winning,
we'll go with Limerick in an All-Ireland final to be playing more than likely Waterford, Cork or Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And an All-Ireland final that you think you don't want a Limerick Cork All Ireland final again the way it went out. You think I'd like to think that everyone seems to be closing in Limerick fairly quickly. We'll know when the championship starts.
Yeah, I certainly think Waterford, Kilkenny, we can give them a better crack for it. You know, maybe Limerick aren't at the heights that they were as well. So I think they're certainly up for grabs. They will be at the top. But yeah, looking forward to what Kilkenny can do this year.
No, fingers crossed. But Colin, it's been an absolute pleasure sitting down and talking to you there. I hope I haven't been too hard on you. You were very good to come in with your time.
This is the most I talked about hurling in a long time.
No, good man, Colin. It's an absolute pleasure to sit down and have a chat with you there. I really do appreciate you popping in and giving me an hour of your time.
Yeah, no, brilliant, Eddie.
That's it for this week's edition of the Clash Act podcast with myself, Eddie Scally. Thanks again to Colin Fenley for being so kind with his time, and I look forward to speaking with you all again over the next couple of weeks.